Right. You can go ahead and be seated. If someone will, could I have your outline? I thought I had one. Thank you. I'll get it back to you. I thought I had one, and I don't. We're going to continue in part two. Ephesians 4:14 says, we are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching. Instead, we are meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up in every way into Christ. If you're new here today, visiting here today, missed last week, we started a series. We hadn't actually started the series yet. This is kind of the introduction into it. We're going to be talking about spiritual growth through prayer. We're going to be in it a couple of months once we get into it. And the title of this week's lesson is Do You Really Want to Grow Up? And I told you guys last week there's six laws to spiritual growth. And we talked about the first three. It says we grow when we feed on God's word. We grow when we learn in different ways. Everybody learns in different ways. But it's also important to learn a different way to learn. We grow when we develop spiritual habits. Now, we're going to get into number four real quick. If you didn't hear any of that, if you weren't here last week, you can get a CD out there that's free. You can go on Stitcher and listen to it. You can go to our website and listen to it. Many ways that you can listen to last week's sermon. Number four, the fourth law of spiritual growth is we grow when we help each other grow. We grow when we help each other grow. This is what we do if we want to be a real man or a real woman of God. Spiritual growth is relational. We are better together. You cannot grow to spiritual maturity on your own. Nada. No way. It ain't gonna happen. God wired us in such a way that we need each other. You need me, I need you to help grow. We need each other. There's 56 verses in the Bible that gives us the command that follows one another. One another. Love one another. Serve one another. Pray for one another. Support one another. Encourage one another. Help one another. And the list just goes on and on. And you can't do that unless you're in a very small group. You can't do it in a crowd. You can't do it in a crowd. You need to know one another. I doubt most of you know everybody on your row. You need to know one another. And the church is called the body of Christ, but we're not one big cell. We're millions and millions of little ones. I want to tell you, as pastor of North Point Church, my goal is to have more people in small groups than in church on Sunday, weekly. That's my goal. It has been for 20 years, and I'm pushing it. And I'm talking about just three or four people. Because if you get more than 10 people in a small group, somebody stops talking. And you're not accomplishing what you need to do. Somebody stops talking. And the whole purpose of a small group is to do what you can't do here. Amen? Amen. That's the purpose of a small group. And a small group is one of the places that you'll grow the most. Romans 1:12 says this, I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. You gotta have people in your life. You can't grow all that you're meant to grow by yourself. Why are relationships so important? Why are small groups so important? Why is it essential to spiritual growth? Because the number one thing that God wants you and me to do is learn how to love. And you can't do that in a cave. You just can't do it all alone. Jesus didn't hide in no cave. Jesus was in the marketplace. He hung out with people. He went to parties. He went to weddings. He did miracles at weddings. Now, the religious people said he was a party animal. They accused Jesus of hanging out with the wrong people. But Jesus says, this is how you learn to love. He's hanging out with people. You learn to love them. And you might say, well, you know, the people in a small group might be strange. But people in a small group might irritate me. Well, that's exactly why you need to be there. Well, I'm telling you. Because if you just isolate yourself and you're never really around someone who's challenging you and someone that you don't think you're going to love, but without having been around somebody, you become unlovely. If you're not around somebody that's hard to love, you become unlovely. So that person that irritates and gets on someone's nerves, it might be you. Reckon? I'm going to tell you, because the more you isolate yourself, the more unloving you become. You really do. You really do. So you got to get with people on a regular basis to grow. And not just come here on Sundays and sit in a row and listen to me. No way, no how. I'm talking about be out there with real people and not ideal people. Real people. Real people. You can't say to other people in this church family and look at them and say, I don't need you. You can't say that. Because it's part of maturity is you realizing that you're not on your own. I'm going to say it again. It ain't about you. It ain't about you. But when we're immature, it's all about me. You know, one of the baby's first words that they learn is mine. Mine. It's all about them when they're a baby. But, you know, we're in our 40s and 50s. It's time we grow up. And the more you think about and love other people, the more mature you're going to be. The more mature you're going to be. People only grow in community. Hebrews 10 says this, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit. There's that word again. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. He's talking about a small group here. Do you guys know about the first 300 years, Christians didn't meet in a building, not a church building. There were no church buildings for the first 300 years. 100% of Christians met in each other's homes. 100% of them met each other's own. Everybody was in a small group then for about 300 years. Here's the action step if you're serious about growing and maturing in your faith. Join a small group. Join a small group. Anybody can host a small group. A teenager can host a small group. All you got to do is open up your home, make some coffee, no baked chocolate oatmeal cookies. But all you got to do is just open up your home and be willing. And I'm just asking you to do one for 2 months. And you've already got the material. I want you to take your sermon notes, fill that with you, and I want you to discuss them. And I'm asking you to add that to whatever you're doing, whether it's Family Feud or Parenthood, whatever you're watching. I'm asking you to take something off your plate for about 30 minutes a week and meet together. Meet together. And just start a small group. Just for the next few weeks. Keep your bullets. And I'm really concerned and I'm really praying for a certain age group. I'm so excited about this age group. That I'm going to do this. for these next 2 months, or if it continues on, you can just keep doing it. For all the young people that's out of high school now, 18 to 25, and single, I'm going to give you a key to my diner and let you go meet on Saturdays. Let you go meet on Saturdays. Free coffee's on me. Soft drinks are on me. It's a place where you can go meet. You can go meet and discuss this lesson. I got a sign-up sheet right here. Do the one that says 18 to 25, single, high school graduate. I'd like for you to sign your name there, how to contact you, whether it's phone, Snapchat, Facebook, however you get in touch with you. Put there. And if you would like to be the host, put a H there. Then I'll consider whether I can trust you with a key or not. I'll even meet you there a little early this Saturday and show you how to make coffee. Might even leave you a couple of buttermilk pies. I don't want to lose this group of people to the enemy. And it's worth a couple of pies. Amen? But you just sign that up. I'll get in touch with you this week. And if it's just two or three, that'd be great. That'd be great. However it is, I want you to sign up there. Now, I got another list here. That's anybody else. It says everybody else on it. You really can't confuse these two lists. If you do, then we got other issues to talk about. And you need to be in another small group. It's over here. Just put your name and an address and phone number. Put a H beside your name if you would like to be a host. And me and somebody else are going to go through these things and try to get you thrown together. This is if you want me to pick your small group. And I'll pick it according to what in qualifications in my mind. That's one of them's location and stuff like that. But do that. It ain't going to be who your buddy's with probably. It'll be that person that's irritable. But if you want to get in a small group, I'd love for you to do that, and I'll take care of that. I'm going to stop watching so much TV this week, and I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to act like a pastor this week. But read those papers. And the group that's going to meet in my diner, I'm just going to ask you to clean up, and I'll show you how to do that, and we'll take care of that. Anyway, okay? Got it? Do that after the service. Do that after the service. And like I say, everybody else is on this side. Don't come over here and say, which one am I supposed to sign? Anyway. All right. Number five. Here's what I really think. We grow when we expect to grow. We grow when we expect to grow. This is the faith factor here. You know, when you want something to happen in your life, God don't respond to your griping. God don't respond to your complaining. He's not moved by our moaning. But the moment you trust him, God moves into action. Yes. God moves according to your faith. Yes. So it's we need to expect. So when you say, I expect God to help me grow, guess what? You're going to grow. You're going to grow. But here's a question I want to have for you today. You may have come in here this morning. I want to know, what are you expecting God to do in your life? What are you expecting God to do in your life, say, a year from today? What are you expecting? Where do you think you will be a year from today? What are you expecting God to do in your life in the next couple of months? As we grow through spiritual prayer. What are you expecting him to do? Without knowing you, I know exactly what God is doing in your life. He's doing exactly what you're expecting him to do. He's doing exactly what you expect. No more, no less. Here's what I've learned in 56 years and almost 20 years as your pastor. When God moves, it's because somebody believed. That's Somebody believed. So I want you, here's your homework for today. Go home. Go home and set a goal. Set a goal for something that you want to see changed in your life, and then start expecting God to move in that direction. Set a goal. Set a goal. According to your faith. You can hang your hat on this verse. Jesus said this. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Your faith. Not complaining. Not griping. Not desires and not wishes. Your faith. Expect. I'm expecting growth in the next couple of months. That's what I'm expecting for me. I'm expecting some growth. And you know what else I'm expecting? I'm expecting some, we call them miracles in Rockmar. I'm expecting some miracles. I'm expecting revival at North Point Church. I'm expecting revival in your lives. I'm expecting revival in your businesses. I'm expecting help with problems. That's what I'm expecting. What are you expecting God to do? What are you expecting God to do? But we got to start this series, this campaign, whatever you want to call it, with the spirit of faith. Expect it. We got to start it with that. Last thing, last step. I'm finishing up. We grow when we choose to grow. This is a good one right here. We grow when we choose to grow. We grow when we commit to grow. Commit to grow. And some of you guys have a hard time with commitment. But we grow when we decide to grow. Amen. Growth is intentional. Growth ain't automatic.
That's right.
It ain't automatic. You can grow old without ever growing up. I mean, the world is filled with old people who are still spiritual babies.
Amen.
Maturity and age ain't got nothing in common. So many of the problems in our nation are problems with perpetual immaturity. Can I say shut down?
Go ahead.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Perpetual immaturity.
Yeah, that's right.
The Bible tells us that when we commit to grow, we'll grow. It's a decision. Guys, if you don't intend to be anywhere, then you know where you're going to wind up. Nowhere. It's intentional. And some of you guys, I know, you're going to be right where you are a year from now. You're happy being immature. You got just enough religion to bug you, but you ain't got enough to bless you. So you'll be right where you are. You're happy being immature. You're happy staying right there in the baby pool. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be doing the backstroke in the deep end. You just hang out in the baby pool with your little swimmies on. I'm telling you guys, it's intentional. It's a choice. Growth is a choice. Growth is a commitment. Growth, you know what? It's a covenant. It's a covenant. Do you really want to grow? Are you willing to develop some new habits in the next couple of months? Let me get a drink of water. Thank you. Are you willing to develop some new habits? Are you willing to spend a few minutes with God every day? Just a few minutes? Are you willing to do the things? Remember the verse we read? To bring prosperity and success into your life? Are you willing to do those things? How badly do you want it? How badly do you want it? Look at Jeremiah at the bottom of your outline. God said this, you'll find me when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else.
Yeah.
How badly do you want it? It's a matter of intention. So what's the action step? Write this down. Make a covenant with others. Make a covenant with other people. When you get in this small group, make a covenant. This is how we grow better together.
Yeah.
Two or three are better than one. And I'm talking about actually sign a covenant. Actually sign a covenant. I get this idea from the Bible. Nehemiah, where am I at on the next page? In view of all this, we are making a covenant together in what? And all of us are what? Signing our names to it. Sign a covenant to God for 2 months that you will meet together and that you will pray together and that you will learn together. For 2 months, you say, well, Jim, I can't do that. I don't know about signing no covenant with God. Well, you sign one to get a car. You sign one to get a house for 30 years. I'm talking about 2 months. Any area that you're afraid to sign a covenant in, you ain't going to grow in. Well, you can write that down. Any area that you're afraid to sign a covenant in, you just ain't going to grow in. Sign a covenant. Growth is one of the most important areas in our life. And I'm telling you, this covenant that you sign will take you to the next level. You know what? I made a covenant with God in 1998. I said, I'll give North Point 20 years of my life. And I didn't sign it. I just kind of verbal thing. It wasn't a biblical number that came at me. I don't know why I just said 20. But you know, in these camping trips that Angie and I make in 2017, as I'd sit and I'd listen to the other guys speak sometimes, I remember sitting out there one time, I said, you know what, God, 20 years done slipped up on me. This year is 20 years. And so I started asking him. Actually, I started offering God my resignation. You know, and so, God, you used me to start this church, but it ain't my church. Is it time for me to leave? Is it time for me to go? Well, in all these times, I haven't come up with any reason why I should leave. Because I'm still healthy. I'm still healthy and I'm doing good. And I wouldn't do a thing to hurt this church or you people. So if it's okay with you, I made my own covenant this morning. I said, Father God, I recommit to you the next 20 years of my life to pastor North Point Church as long as the people would have me and my health permitted and am able to lead like you would have me. This is my covenant with you, Lord. Love, Jim. Yeah. And I signed this covenant. It's between me and the Lord. And I'm going to post it in my office. And if as long as y'all have me, and as long as my health's there, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do and pastor North Point Church. That's my covenant with God. It's important to have a covenant. But here's the thing. I'm going to take all that clapping as an okie dokie. If I'm staying, I'm coming after you.
Come on.
I'm coming after you. You've just given me that permission to come after you. I'm not going to let you waste your life. I'm not going to let you waste your pain. I'm coming after you. 2 Corinthians 13:9. Our greatest wish and prayer is that you will become mature Christian. If I'm staying, we're going to another level. And I told my wife this morning, it always starts with prayer. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 40 days. Prayer. Prayer. Get strapped in. We going. Single, graduated from high school up to 25 years old, sign here. Everybody else, sign here. Amen?
Amen.
I got some pens already there for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I welcome you here, and Lord, we come with expectant hearts and praises. I lift our men and women up to you. And you know, Lord, I got a I got a heart toward these 18, 19 to 25 year olds. I don't want to lose them, Lord, to the enemy. I don't want to lose them, Lord, to these professors that tell them their faith is no good. I don't want to lose them to the world. But I also want a place where seniors can go to. Senior citizens, and they can meet and grow. I don't want us to grow old and be immature. Lord, we love you. We praise you, and today is yours. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.